What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm JD. With me always are my two favorite co-hosts in the whole world. It's Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
Yo, how we done?
How's it going, fellas? How's it going?
Yo, before we get started, I want to address something really quick because it's been on my mind for like a week.
Okay.
Right? Like us getting blasted about this Jake Paul stuff. I just want to clarify something, right? I've never said anything about how good of a marketer he is. I've never said anything about how good of a businessman he is. I've never said anything to prey on his downfall, which is what people are accusing me of. The only thing I've said was I wouldn't mind seeing him get knocked out by a boxer. That's all I've said.
You ain't lying.
Right? And there's millions of people out there that have the same thought. I'm not gassing him up. I'm not. All I'm saying is fight a fighter. That's all I'm saying. Right? What he's doing is impressive. Putting your body through that training, all that stuff. Yes, I get that. But his second career fight was against fucking Nate Robinson.
With one of the, that was one of the funniest knockouts I may have seen in my entire life.
100%. But it's like all these people that are giving us shit because of our opinion. I'm not praying for the man to fail. That's not what I'm saying. But like I'll pay $100 to see him get knocked out if he fought a real fighter. But the current state of boxing has me thinking that every single fight is rigged. So when someone says like, oh yeah, I'm going to box this guy, to me, that's not saying much. MMA and UFC right now is the only way to prove that you're a fighter, in my opinion, excluding Canelo. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not going to lie. I don't like Jake Paul. So, I mean, I was the one that posted it. Dean was the one that said it. I stand by it.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. No, it is what it is, man.
Great like, marketer, though.
Great.
No doubt.
Knows
no
how
doubt.
To play the villain, and he's good at it.
For sure. Like, dude, the guy started on Disney Channel. Like, yeah, I tip that. Great job. But don't come out here and start making statements like you're one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. Don't do that.
Big news just came out into the baseball world. Unfortunately, Shohei Ohtani is not going to be on the mound in the near future. There is a tear in his UCL again. He had Tommy John surgery a few years ago. Obviously, this puts the Angels completely out of it. He still is going to be in the lineup. But instead of just sitting here and talking about how Ohtani's tear is disappointing for baseball because we love seeing the dude just be an absolute baseball god of some sort and be able to hit and pitch at the same time. How does this affect his offseason? He's a free agent at the end of the year. Is he not going to get the payday that we thought he was going to get now because there's some concerns around the health?
So you had to look at this like he was going to get paid as if he was two players. Right? So he was probably going to be upwards to about 50, 60, maybe $65 million, right? So you have to essentially cut that in half, I feel like, if you're a front office, and give him $30 million to be a hitter. Because if he does return, I think his starting pitching days are over. I think he's going to transition more into like the closer role, which is still going to be exciting. But I do think it costs him about $30 million.
Yeah, I think, it should be interesting to see what GMs do with that. Because if you want to wow him, and you know he's an unrestricted free agent, if you want him to come to your city and play for your ball club, you're gonna have to throw a bunch of money at him. Everybody knows that. But I think the team that I know money isn't the most motivating factor for him, but it's definitely gonna come into play here. Like he's gonna be gone all next year as a starting pitcher, so it's basically 2 years removed from his next starting role. I kind of agree with you, Dean. I don't think he comes back as a starter. Maybe like sort of like a long relief, like you get a lead in the seventh and he comes in and just shoves for three innings. Significantly reduce the wear and tear on his arm. But I still think he's going to command top dollar, like dollar we haven't seen ever before.
Yeah, I don't know if it hurt him as much as Houdini that you said $30 million. I understand your logic behind that, and it makes complete sense. I still think that there's going to be a team out there that probably will overpay him.
Exactly.
Maybe
he's a generational player. Someone's going to way overpay him.
Okay, but if he doesn't come back this season to hit, I don't know if they throw the same bag at him that they would have if he was healthy.
Well, didn't he, when he came over his first year, I think he just DH'd because he was on the second year of the Tommy John or something similar, or maybe the first year and they gave him an extra year. So I think he's demonstrated he can still hit pretty damn well with no UCL in his right arm.
I agree with that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Going to be interesting for sure. Keeping on it with Angels news, Mike Trout went back on the IL just only after a few hours. He was resignated off the IL with the same left-hand hammock bone injury. He said that he had pain while swinging. I kind of question this because he had to have taken batting practice. Why all of a sudden, the day that you're resignated from the IL, you all of a sudden have pain? It's kind of weird. It sucks because we want to see Trout on the field because he's fun to watch, but I don't really get that.
I mean, game swings, BP swings, a little less violent, you know, like when he gets to a game, like that's more of a violent swing. I understand his mindset. I understand why he wanted to come back. If I was the Angels, I would have shut him down the rest of the year. That's not an easy injury to recover from. So I thought he rushed it back, and my guess is he won't play the rest of the year.
I got two words for you. Cursed franchise.
You ain't kidding. It's kind of sad to watch that they were never able to do anything with Trout or Ohtani. Shifting gears, though, going to be staying in baseball. Brian Cashman had a little meeting with the press, and he said that they're going to do a self-evaluation at the end of the season due to the Yankees' struggles. This whole season has been a disaster. They're under 500 for the first time since, like, sometime in the 80s. It's incredible. They were on the longest losing streak since 1982. And, in fact, nobody on the Yankees' active roster was even alive the last time the Yankees went on that long of a losing streak. And Boone reported that he had a meeting with Hal and Hal Steinbrenner, the general managing partner of the New York Yankees, and Brian Cashman. And they told him that they were frustrated with the ball club and the results this season. So you could talk about how the Yankees have been disappointing, but should Boone really be taking the blame for this? It's kind of hard. I mean, Cashman, you're the one that put the team together, bro.
So Kurt Schilling said it the other day. It was actually in the New York Post. He said Aaron Boone will probably be fired and it's not his fault. And I've said this before, right? Like, and I know Brian Cashman was in my trash bag of the week. I definitely think everybody has somewhat of a blame. You know what I mean? Like when a team's not playing right, like everyone has to look in the mirror. So yes, do I think Boone needs to look at himself and reflect a little bit and take some ownership? 100%. Do I think this is his fault? No. I don't think there's a single manager in the MLB that can bring out the best in the lineup that Brian Cashman created. Oh, and my last thing is I was rooting for them to lose that 10th game in a row so bad, because they would have been on the longest losing streak since 1913. And if you're going to suck, at least break some records.
Be historic.
At least get one of the high picks in the draft next year for sucking. I mean, come on. Yankees,
I mean, I don't care less about that.
Huh?
Break a record.
I care.
Who cares about the draft?
I care.
What, you think Tommy White's going to come in and do something for us? You won't see him until he's 24.
That's true.
And plus, if you are a prospect and you get drafted by the Yankees, they'll call you up anyway.
That is true. That is very, very true. A little bit of sad news coming out in the baseball community. Steven Strasburg, a name that you probably haven't heard in a while, definitely could play a game on the what if type of guys. He announced his retirement today due to battling with ongoing injuries. He was 35 years old, the 2019 World Series MVP. He beat the Houston Astros and was a huge reason why the Nationals were able to win that World Series, the first World Series in their franchise history. So, I mean, he's a baseball hero forever. His debut was absolutely awesome to watch. In the World Series, he was awesome. When he threw in college at San Diego State, it was awesome. The dude's going to be remembered. Congrats on a great career.
Absolutely electric. Got to see him a couple times in AA, and the stadium was just buzzing. And there was so much hype around Strasburg. And when he was on, he was on. And, you know, one of the best at the time, in my opinion. One of the best young arms at the time. But, yeah, you're right, Jedi. The game of what if, what could have been with all those arm injuries, it's terrible to see.
Strasburg was fun to watch pitch. Like I told you whenever the news broke or whatever, like times are definitely changing. You know, you like the new wave of young pitchers are coming up. Like even George Kirby, like that's another pitcher we left off the list. Like there's a lot of young arms that are out there, and you're gonna play the what if game later on with Ohtani probably if he never pitches again in the starter role.
Yeah. Switching gears over into basketball, Kobe Bryant is supposed to be getting a statue outside of the Lakers place on February 8th, 2024. A little bit of with the numbers there. It was announced by Vanessa Bryant. It's going to be something that way he's forever remembered in Lakers land. I mean, I think he doesn't need a statue to be remembered, but definitely cool that he's getting one.
Love it.
I just hope it's better than the Sean Taylor one that they put up in FedEx Field. Hopefully it's professionally done.
Have you ever seen the funny part about it? Have you ever seen the statue for Cristiano Ronaldo in his hometown?
Yes.
If you haven't, look it up. It's one of the funny. He's like, you know, regarded as one of the most beautiful men in the world, and this statue just looks nothing like him. It's hilarious. But that's awesome. I'm glad to see they're doing something like that. My biggest thing is, yeah, I just hope they don't screw it up. Like that's great that they're doing a statue out there for him. He obviously changed the game and was a huge loss, but I'm all for it. I love it.
A little bit of a heated discussion this past week in sports. ESPN reporter Ryan Clark said in a Monday segment on ESPN's NFL Live Studio show that the Dolphins QB, Tua, this offseason wasn't in the gym, I bet you that, and was not eating at the dinner table what the nutritionist had advised. He compared Tua, who bulked up 10 pounds this offseason in hopes of protecting himself with the injuries he had last year, and he compared him to a stripper. Clark since then has apologized for the comment. He said, when I decided to do TV, I had two main priorities. One, to respect all NFL players, coaches, executives, and staff members. Two, earn and keep the respect of those of my same people. Because he did play football back then. But he did offer his sincere apologies towards Tua. Tua responded, said very kindly, keep my name out of your mouth. Very quickly, scumbag scale.
What a scumbag.
Scumbag scale for Tua?
Hold on.
Or hold sorry, on, Ryan hold Clark. Hold on,
dude. You can't just
have that on.
You can't just fucking do that and not tell anybody.
I just did.
So, yeah, I mean, look, those comments are insane. And it sucks because Ryan Clark was a former skin safety who played really good football. He was a former Steelers safety. He was a pretty good football player there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I like hard Ryan hitter, Clark bro. A lot. And this is the first time he has slipped up and said something stupid because normally he's pretty on point. But I think these statements are insanely inaccurate. Like the guy's dealing with concussion problems. They probably sat him down and said, you have to gain some weight. So, yeah, scumbag scale, this is a solid 8.7.
I was going to go 8.5. Yeah,
it's pretty high up there. And, Jedi, I hadn't heard those comments until you just read them, too. So it seemed like Ryan Clark talked a lot when he was a player and he backed it up. But as a broadcaster, he has been perfect. You know, you're exactly right. Like, he hasn't slipped up one time. And that's his first slip up, and it was kind of big one. So, interesting comments.
Before we wrap up this edition of Hot Shots, though, Houdini, what is your final thought?
All right. So, my final thought turned into Monday Night Football last week. Obviously, the Commanders played the Ravens, and they had a joint practice. They went at it. I will tell you, it's some of the best football I've seen in the preseason in a long time. The Commanders broke a 24-game winning streak in the preseason by the Baltimore Ravens, which, to be honest with you, didn't even know was a thing until the game was being played. But I actually enjoyed watching it. And my Commanders, Skins, you know, celebrated like they won the Super Bowl. And I got a lot of texts about it, like, oh, look at celebrating the Super Bowl. Well, yeah, it's just because it was our Super Bowl. So, yeah, I was going to be happy. But look, we're approaching that fantasy football time, and there's a couple storylines already in the NFL that are kind of standing out, and I've already touched on the Commanders game. Terry McLaurin goes down with a foot injury. Should be good for week one, but was getting some extra reps. I'm 50-50 on it, but it is what it is, so we got to keep an eye on that. Obviously, the Joe Burrow story with his calf is still a storyline. He's progressing as he should, but should be good for week one. Still, I'm hesitant right now maybe a second, third round pick now, as opposed to probably being the first or second quarterback off the board, maybe the third. So maybe like third, fourth, fifth round, maybe even. Jaxon Smith-Njigba goes down, wide receiver for the Seahawks, rookie. The Seahawks are trying to build on the success last year around Geno Smith, which I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Judy goes down with the Broncos. Right, so like that's a wide receiver that I think was poised to have another good year, especially because of how terrible the Broncos were last year. And the two big storylines is Josh Jacobs holding out with the Raiders and Jonathan Taylor requesting a trade from the Colts. And the interesting part about this is the Dolphins called the Raiders for Josh Jacobs. So my mind's saying the Dolphins are going to call the Colts now for Jonathan Taylor. And if that's the case, because you have two good running backs on the board right now, and you have a couple teams out there that are shopping for some running backs, and if the Dolphins land one of those two, I'm really interested in what that Dolphins offense is going to look like with Tua and, help me out. Tyreek.
Jalen Waddle. Yeah, like they got some playmakers.
And if Tua can stay healthy, that team might be pretty good. That's my final thought. And I'm pretty excited for football. Like, I've watched more preseason games this year than I have regular season games in the last two.
I can't wait for football. I can't wait, dude. I'm so excited.
Love it. Love it. Make sure to follow us on social media, all at Hot Shots Podcast on all social media platforms. Other than that, see you next time.